But just kidding. You know, there's a scripture, Ginger alluded to it earlier. This wasn't part of the sermon, but with what's going on. You know, there's a song out that's called Fear is a Liar. It's a Christian song. But if you take your Bibles real quick and go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It is related to what we're going to be talking about today, but it wasn't part of the original thing. I just felt impressed to do this. Exodus 15, Moses' song, too. Verse 26. We don't have to have the fear that the world has. You agree? Perfect love casts out all fear. So I have some fear, so I need more of that perfect love. I don't know about you, and that's part of what this sermon's about today. We need to be transparent to be transformed. We can't kid ourselves. Verse 26 says this. So if you don't want this virus or any other virus, the Lord said, and the Lord's not a liar, right, isn't he? Malachi tells us and in Hebrews tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Amen. But there's requirements, as there always is with God. Another scripture that I had for the scripture reading, but I didn't give it to Sharon, so it's not her fault. It's really not my fault either. You know, when you're doing Bible studies, you know how the Spirit starts talking, all of a sudden things come to you and you say, whoo. And when you see the subject today, you'll understand how this fits. This is probably one of the most serious scriptures that we could do. 1 Peter 4:7. You can look it up in your Bibles if you like. I don't have it on the screen. But 1 Peter 4:7 says this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, that word therefore means for that reason, if we read what's before there, to be prepared. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. I appreciate brothers' prayers today. You can hear the heart, and that's what's important. And as always, what's on the screen, I have covers, copies for you folks. And I hope that you'll take some of these because this is a subject I can promise you that Satan does not want you to understand. He does not want you to. Satan doesn't care if you pray. He doesn't care if I pray. What he cares about is if we're seeking the Lord with all our heart, diligently, wanting the fullness of Christ in us. That's what Satan doesn't want. So he'll do anything. But if our prayers are just grocery lists or they're just lukewarm or whatever title you want to put on them, it's not a big deal to Satan. But when your heart's right and your heart's after the Lord, that's a different story. And so I have a sermon here that I put together a few years ago. I know it's one that Satan isn't happy with, so I'm going to have a prayer before we start again. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you that you are an unchanging God and that you have an endless pursuit for us to be in your kingdom with you, and that you're long-suffering and you're patient, that you're the creator, the mighty power, the power is in your word, that you wish for none of us to perish. We thank you, Lord, for pursuing us, even during our trials, that we know that you're fitting us for heaven, that we can be safe to go there. So as we open your word today, we invite your Holy Spirit to be the teacher. Our hearts and minds to be open, all prejudices, preconceived notions, we set them aside and let the word speak directly to our heart. May each one here today only hear from your spirit the truth, Father. I am human like they are. I want them to hear from you. So bless them, anoint us with your spirit, put it in our hearts, give us a greater desire to do your will and to share it with others. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we need a lot of prayer, and this sermon today hopefully will touch your hearts. This sermon's for me, I'm just sharing it with you. This is What I am seeking, this is what I know I need in my life. And I hope that you will see it. Because I think you can all agree with one thing for sure. If we do not see a need for something, we don't pursue it. Isn't that true? We don't go looking for something to eat when we just finished a meal. Right? We just filled our gas tank up. We're not looking for another gas station because there's no need to. But as soon as that gas tank gets a little low, and I think the sister over here, I don't know names, so pardon me, but she's right. We have to eat spiritual food every day. If you don't eat physical food each day, do you get stronger or weaker? So if we're not doing our spiritual food in prayer, we're going to get weak too, aren't we? And we're not going to stand fast. So with that said and done, I pray that our hearts see this, because if even just two of you are on fire for the Lord, great things will happen in this community. I alluded last week and talked about the disciples before Pentecost and after Pentecost, and we all see the difference. Is that correct? Remember, amen's all right. Just saying, I agree. If you don't agree, just say, I don't agree. That's okay. But we see a big difference between the disciples and the church before and after Pentecost. The same Peter who denied his Lord after Pentecost gave one of the most powerful sermons in scriptures, and 3,000 people were baptized. So one thing had to happen in order for that to happen. We see a coward denying the Lord because he thought he was stronger than what he was. And many of us are like that. We can say things in theory. Until we're challenged, we really don't find out how strong we really are. Isn't that true? I mean, I've had that in my life. I think I'm pretty strong. And then somebody says something, all of a sudden I'm like, we don't want to be like that as Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so those who get to know me know I'm just transparent, right or wrong. I just believe in transparency. Our church, for too many years, too many people have had masks, had to hide in churches. These sanctuaries should be a place we feel safe in and that we want to come and share our love with the Lord, not a place to hide. Same with our homes. Discovered treasures, do you know him? Again, I have copies of this if you wish to have afterwards. And I praise you all for being here today, because this is the right place to be on the Sabbath, as far as I'm concerned. And so, and that's not putting down other people. We all are grown in Christ, but we need, you know, we look at the 41 one another's in the New Testament. Almost all of them are about edifying one another, loving one another, you know, encouraging, greet each other with a holy kiss. We can shake hands. Anyways, we'll go forward. The Holy Spirit, who is he? What is he? And why did God give him to us? You know, this is a subject in Christianity. Very little is talked about and understood. At the same time, it's one of the things that is so misused in Christianity. We see all these false teachers out there. We see the false outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When I went through my search of scriptures and religions, as I testified before, I went through about 20 different denominations in search of the Lord, and being raised as Catholic, strict Catholic, and giving up on God. But you know, when you go to some of these Pentecostal churches, you know, that they teach and believe that if, you know, if you're not speaking in tongues, that you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's taken out of context. And we know that that's not true, because the Bible teaches John the Baptist, we're told, is was no greater man than John the Baptist. And we know that John the Baptist and Jesus Christ did not speak in tongues in the scriptures. There's no place that says they speak in tongues. But we would say they're full of the Holy Spirit, right? So this subject today, hopefully we will see what it is. And what I hope and ask you to do is, when you see these attributes, ask yourself, is this something that you feel you need, or something that you would want, or you think this is something we should throw aside in order to grow in Christ and be the people that he's asked us to be? We are in strange times. In John chapter 14 and 16, not a word does Jesus utter that can be construed as implying the Holy Spirit is simply an influence, which a lot are teaching now, even Adventists, or that movement that's on. They're trying to go to the General Conference to drop the Trinity and all this other stuff. These are Adventist people. They do not understand. And we, before we came out here, we had several meetings with a lady in the church who is on that bandwagon with some of us leaders and stuff, and trying to make people see there's a Godhead. And if we take the Holy Spirit away, where does that leave us as Christians? He addresses him and treats him as a person 24 times in John 14, 15, and 16. The personal pronouns, he, him, and whom occur apply to the Spirit. Not that persons of Godhead are masculine or feminine, but personal is contrasted with impersonal. Personal qualifies personal actions and personal relationships are ascribed to him. It's knowledge, feeling, will, and love, not hands or feet that are marks of personality. Now, understand I'm saying personality, not a person at that point. The Holy Spirit is more than a mere personality. He's a divine person. Do you all agree with that? There's a lot of things that we will never understand on this side of heaven. I don't know if we'll understand everything on that side. In time we may, but there's things we don't, the Lord does not ask us to have blind faith, does he? When we go to a courtroom, if there's a murder case or any other thing, and they have no eyewitness, they go by circumstantial evidence, right? And if there's enough circumstantial evidence, they make a decision, guilty or not guilty. Well, the Lord has given us a lot of evidence to believe his word. And we're fortunate the times we live, and there's over 100,000 archaeological findings that support the Bible. 100,000 that show that it's true in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you can go on and on. And so, and we have more sight. We have the best health message in the world. At a time of what's going on now, we should be getting this health message out instead of hiding. He's called God in Acts 5, 3, and 4, the third person of the Godhead. He possesses divine attributes, omnipotence, omnipresence, eternal life. These pertain only to God, yet they are attributes of the Spirit. Quote, the Holy Spirit is a person qualified to deal with personal beings consciously and intelligently, causing them to know what is in the heart of God for them and what is in their own hearts. We're talking about Daniel this quarter, but there's others. But in Daniel and his friends, would you agree they had a strong personal relationship with God? They knew their God. They knew the Old Testament and the New Testament both meet at the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you agree? We look at the sanctuary service, and that's what distinguishes Adventists. There's at least 40 other denominations that honor the Sabbath. There's Seventh-day Baptists. There's a list of that. There's even Seventh-day Pentecostals. What makes the difference is that we understand the spirit of prophecy and the commandments of men, that it's the whole Bible and not part. So there's a fourfold power needed, at least in my understanding. We need spiritual power to live a holy life. Do you agree? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of new affection and will. We need intellectual power. We need to understand to be wise. We need to know when to speak up, when to shut up, which is a lesson I'm still learning. That's why I get in trouble. But I'm learning, slow but sure. And we need power in service, which is we're lacking in Christianity in general. But since we're Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we're lacking a lot of service in this country. Other places, it's spreading like wildfire. If you follow things, Africa is growing leaps and bounds, and yet some of the greatest persecution is going on there. And here they are growing. So the Holy Spirit is himself the embodiment of these powers. So here's 21. Because of time, I'm only doing 21 of the attributes. There's actually 33 that I've discovered in the scriptures. When we go through these attributes, these characteristics, you will see the relationship. These are the characteristics of Jesus. These are the same characteristics of God. They're one and the same. It shows us God's character. It shows us who it is, who he is. Excuse me. And so again, see if there's any of these you would like to leave out of your life. The Holy Spirit teaches, and these are promises, which things also we speak, not in words what man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual, 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit is in us, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. It is through the Spirit that Christ dwells in us. And the Spirit of God received into the heart by faith is the beginning of life eternal. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's a pretty serious quote, scripture, isn't it? If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And how do we get the Spirit of Christ? How do we get the fullness of the Holy Spirit? There's only one way. How do we do it? What's the only way we can receive this gift? That's right, prayer. Sincere, earnest seeking. We have to desire it. We have to see our need for it, our real need, not a superficial need, our real need. I think the problem, again, is we have too many conveniences of the world. It's easy to be lazy in America. I'm speaking for me. It's real easy to do that. Know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Holy Spirit will lead us. How many of us need to be led by the Spirit? Hopefully everybody, right? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Another misused scripture by people. That's why we have the once saved, always saved theory out there, right? Is that a true Bible doctrine? Is that true? Once saved, always saved. Once I accept Jesus, I'm good to go. Is that all there is to it? Because that is, then like I said last week, Satan has to go back to heaven at one time. Before he rebelled, he was a saved being. But if he was saved once, I guess God would have to let him back into heaven. That doesn't seem to fit. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And you remember he went to the eunuch and he brought the eunuch to Christ and baptized him. Notice he went instantly. He had other plans, but the Lord said, boom. So if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're listening. And we're not patting ourselves. We're here in New York because of the Holy Spirit. We're not here because we woke up one day and said, you know what, let's just go move to New York. Let's leave our nice, comfortable place in Oregon where we don't have to shovel snow and our 40 fruit trees. And But God is good, and it's a blessing. And so we're glad to be here, you know. The process kind of stunk, but getting here, we're okay now, thanks to your prayers. The Holy Spirit walks with us. Do y'all want God to be walking with us every day? I hope so. I'm putting the scriptures in there because I don't want you to think I made these things up. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is not the battle carnal against spiritual? Bottom line, it's control for the mind. Satan wants to control the mind. God wants our mind to be with him. Walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill it. So we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I submit again, as I did last week, unless we get the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we will not be victorious. It is Christ in us that gives us the victory. We have to seek that. We have to ask the Lord every day for his Spirit to be in us, that we give him our will. It's not about surrender, it's about obedient surrender, right? We have to be faithful. We have to be fit for heaven. I think everyone would agree that sin can't go back to heaven. We can't have a heart that cherishes sin, wants to sin, and expect to go with the Lord. Now, I may be struggling with the sin. You may be struggling with the sin. That's one thing, struggling with it and asking Lord to give you more of Christ in us, more of the Holy Spirit in us to overcome this, to take these wrong desires out of our heart. But if we're presumptuous and say, well, that's all right, God loves me anyways, that's really a once saved, always saved attitude, saying it doesn't really matter because God loves me. God loves everybody he's going to destroy. Do you agree? If you had to destroy two of your earthly children, you would love them. Would it bother you to destroy your children? Absolutely. None of us would want to have to choose. I raised five kids. What if I had to choose two of them to be lost for eternity? We wouldn't want that. God doesn't want that for you and me either. The Holy Spirit will free us. How many want to be freed? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Who is? The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit is life. Do we want white life? Do we need life? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And whose righteousness is that? Only Christ's righteousness. We are only righteous because of Christ. That's Christ in us. Our prayers are only righteous because we give them to Jesus when we pray in His name. His righteousness makes our prayers righteous. Does that make sense? If you all don't agree, we can discuss it. That's why we're here. I'm not a preacher, so I don't mind discussion. He bears witness. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How important it is to know that you're a child of God. Do you know, every one of us here, if you're a woman, you are a princess. And a man, you are a prince, because we're a child of the King. Amen? And God has no grandchildren. He only has children. We have grandchildren, but God doesn't. I mean, that's the way I see it. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you know of God having any grandchildren in the Bible, let me know. The Bible says we are His children. And boy, as we study the Scriptures, as I study it, I can see how childish I am. Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Do you think we ever need intercession? Every day. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Anybody ever had that problem, struggling in prayer? Somebody? I'm having that right now with some things that have gone on. I don't know what to pray for these people. We pray for their salvation, but sometimes you get so bamboozled and there's so much going on, you can't sort it out, but you just lay it on the Lord. He intercedes for us. Isn't that good news? That means the Lord will take care of what we can't do. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Holy Spirit speaks to us. Do we want God to talk to us? Do we want to learn how to hear God? I had a sermon, maybe the Lord will open the door someday. It's called, What Does God Sound Like? What if somebody asked you that question? How would you answer it, you know? But if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll know how to answer things that people ask. The Holy Spirit does speak to us. It says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation 2 and 3, seven times the Lord says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Revelation 22, once. I would say that that's an important message. And he says, let him hear what he says unto who? What does it say? Read it with me. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto. And who is the church? God's people, right? So he's saying, listen, I have something to tell you. The Holy Spirit is power. Do we need power to face challenges in this world? But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is truth. We are seeking truth, are we not? I see the next quarterly is on, I'd rather use the word understanding than interpretation. God wants us to understand. Just semantics, I guess. But interpretation, to me, means that's just my opinion rather than this is how I understand it, but maybe you understand it different. That's part of not forsaking the assembly, so we can discuss these things like in Sabbath school class. One thought the North Kingdom was this, one thought it was that, but as we continue to seek, we find out the truth, right? Now we're in unity, and that's what God wants us to have. Holy Spirit is truth. Even the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither know, but you know him because he dwells with you and shall be in you. So if you're talking to worldlings as a Christian, they're not going to understand half of what you say, and they're going to think most of what you believe, you're out of your mind. We understand prophecy. How many people are looking, even non-Christians, are wondering what's going on in the world today? Even my son, he knows better, but he's just still being stubborn. But by God's grace, that'll be broken. This is he that came water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. How many of us need to be sanctified? We all do, right? That's ongoing, praise the Lord. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will give us joy. How many of us want to have joy? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. In who? The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost in us. Holy Ghost searches our hearts. Do we have a need for that in our lives? Do we need him to show us? Someone in Sabbath school today mentioned that too, that the only fear they had was that there might be some unconfessed sin. And we're told in Spirit of Prophecy, those who are fully converted at the end times, that's their greatest fear, and that's their only fear. Is there anything that I didn't confess that would keep me from being with God for eternity? That's serious business, is it not? That says our heart has to be right with God. My heart can only be right if I have Christ in me. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And remember, he'll teach us all things. That's a promise in Matthew. All things. Our part is we have to seek diligently and prayerfully. It doesn't just say, have a 5-minute devotional, and that's, I'm good for God for the rest of the day, and just go out. Seeking, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned last week, we hid $50,000 or $100,000 in this church, and the first one that finds it can have it. We would see what seeking is about. And never who the janitor of this church is would not be happy the next day to have to come clean up the mess. God is worth more than $50,000, amen? Holy Spirit will give us patience. None of us need that, I'm sure. I think we're all pretty good, right? For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. Spirit strengthens us. Do I have a need to be strengthened? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Holy Spirit will give us obedience. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Seek that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Easy to love the lovable, isn't it? A little hard on the other end. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that at times. And I know unless I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be hard. It's going to be impossible to really love the unlovable. We've probably all seen little videos or heard stories about homeless people or other, what we would call undesirables in society, walking through a church. And people, some people literally got up and moved, didn't want them to sit next to them. And how many of us, if we see that, are we saying, and to be honest, I mean, I hope he doesn't sit next to me, where we should be saying, praise the Lord, he is in the right place. Lord, what can I do to bring this man to your altar of grace? Isn't that the transforming power? Are we no different because we have nicer clothes? Do you think God doesn't care for people who are in trouble, who are homeless? My wife and I, we're troubled with the tragedy that happened with a person we've only met through the internet for the last year that we've been witnessing to, and who started going to Adventist Church about 4 or 5 months ago, and her husband was tragically killed. And about when they started coming there, he started doing Bible studies. They were having troubles, blah, blah, blah. So now he was killed tragically in a truck accident last week. She's in her 60s. She has no family. She has no children. She has to sell the home. The bank is going to foreclose but won't foreclose if she puts it up for sale, but she has no money to pay bills. The churches, she goes to Sunday and Sabbath church there. You know, they rally like everybody does for a couple, 3 weeks, and then life gets busy and all of a sudden you forget about the... We can't forget these people. Now, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't think we will forget these people. But that's part of the thing. What do you pray for? You see the obvious, but there's bigger pictures. And so that could potentially make a person homeless unless somebody steps in. They need help. And that's why I believe as Christians, I mentioned last week in this community here, you have people thinking about suicide, you got drunks, you got addicts of all types out here, you got child abusers, you got wife beaters, and we go down that whole list because they're human. We're in a society that is evil, and God has commanded us to take a message of hope to people who are hopeless. This is not home, do you agree? This can't be our home. You're laying on your deathbed, you're looking up the ceiling, you know you have 2 days left to live. And God, you're talking to God and visualize in your mind's eye, you're laying there knowing that soon your last breath is going to be taken. What is going to be important in your life at that point? Are we going to care how big a house we lived in, how good of a job, what social status we had, how good, how many clothes I had? We can go down this whole list. Or is it going to be about relationship? Am I going to lay there wondering, what's my relationship with God? What is heaven going to be like? Is there anything I can say or witness to somebody else? But, you know, the things that are important. But the devil has us diverted so much. We spend so much of our time supporting worldly activities. it's insane. We don't have trouble. A lot of people don't have trouble, I should say, watching a Super Bowl game, which, if we look closely at Spirit of Prophecy, we wouldn't be doing, but they could spend 2-3 hours doing that. But ask somebody to have an hour in prayer and it's tedious. So I think we need the Holy Spirit. Do you agree? He's going to fill us. That's a promise. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may bound up in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And when we're filled with the Spirit and he brings all things of God to us, is that not going to be peaceful? Is that not going to be joyful? Is that not going to give us confidence? That's what happened to the disciples after Pentecost. They were willing to die for the Lord at that point. 50 days earlier, they're denying him. 50 days later, they're ready to be crucified. We will not shut our mouths. We're going to speak of God. They got it. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. That fear is reverence of the Lord. That's another word that's misused in the Bible a lot. You know, there's reverence and there is time to be afraid, so to speak. Holy Spirit will give us power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is coming to you. Now notice, this is key scripture. Acts 1:8 says, you and me will receive the power when? What does it say? After the Holy Ghost has come upon us. What power do we have before that? Human power. Human power doesn't go very far, does it? We're commanded to be a house of prayer. And our churches, in most cases, are anything but a house of prayer. And I know that's bold, but that's the key. Jesus commanded us to be a house of prayer. Prayer is the key to heaven, as they say, and faith unlocks the door. But we need to seek it. We've been running evangelistic series for years, again, and we don't see big results, if you're honest. And I'm going to venture to say, I haven't been in this church, but I venture to say for years, it's probably the same thing. When you're running evangelistic series, we kind of have the same thing, we have the same results, and we don't see the church really grow, and we sit there, and then we come back week after week. Well, that's what the disciples were doing before Pentecost. They were getting some people, they were healing some people, but after, The difference is when we start having programs and sessions in the Holy Spirit's power, that's where the conviction comes. That's where the lights come on. That's what touches people. We don't touch people's heart. The Holy Spirit in us touches. Do you agree with that? The Holy Spirit is the one that changes our hearts. It convicts us. People come here because they were led by the Spirit. Your prayers are being answered. When you're asking the Lord to bring people, but when He brings people into our church family, we need to take care of these people. Do you agree? We need to take care of each other first. It begins right here at home. Our deepest, highest, most urgent need of all needs today is the Holy Spirit. This quote, the power and the provision of His filling. Fact, faith, feeling is God's order. The filling may be unique, but will probably be common. And we see that, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, mostly, most people don't have a road to Damascus experience. But we see all through the book of Acts how people receive the Holy Spirit. Barnabas never had the experience of Paul, yet both were filled with the Spirit. Filling is not based on feelings, but on fact. And the devil will tell us feelings. You know, well, I don't feel like I'm right. We can go down that whole terrible negative. Doubt is a tool of the devil. It's not a word of God. God does not want you or me to doubt Him in any shape or form. No more than you who may have children do not want your children to doubt you. It's that simple. Holy Spirit's a gift, and Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice you get the gift of the Holy Ghost, but not the fullness of the Holy Ghost. That begins our journey, being baptized, right? It's not the end of our journey, it's the beginning. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. He brings holy boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And that boldness means confidence. Since, again, these important quotes, since this is the means, the Holy Spirit, I read this last week, to me it's one of the most powerful quotes that we should get in our heads. Since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why we do not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit. Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? Because Satan doesn't want us to. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. That means every day we should be seeking that. Every day we should say, Lord, is there somebody I can witness to? Is there somebody I can pray for? The questions go on and on. So how important is it to have the indwelling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Our eternal life depends on it. There's only one way and one way only to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Earnest prayer. When you hear the word earnest, what does that mean to you? Anybody? Earnest. Serious. That's right. Heartfelt, right? It's not just saying, well, Lord, bless my son today. Thank you for being with him. Thank you for that. And that's it. Seeking. Right now, I'm asking the Lord to show me greater. I need to hate evil more than I do. And we are told with spirit of prophecy, if we don't see how ugly and evil evil is, how are we ever going to see the beauty of what Christ did for us? If evil is watered down and it's no big deal. We need to see the beauty of Christ. So every recorded instance of receiving the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is preceded by earnest prayer and how earnestly they desire to give. Pentecost proves that if our repentance is true and deep, no blessing is withheld because of past sins. The Holy Spirit is the advocate on earth of our glorified Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. We receive the Holy Spirit by a definite, deliberate, conscious, personal act of faith and surrender. And we must surrender our will, yield ourselves to Him, and become empty of self. Remember, faith is not feeling. As Christ had a definite time mission, so the Holy Spirit likewise has a definite time mission, His special dispensation being from Pentecost to the second advent, which we're nearing. His is a person of the Godhead who came to earth in a definite way, at a definite time, for a definite work. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that He could solicit from His Father, talking about Jesus, for the exaltation of His people. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. Christ is our example. Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Is he not our leader? Is he not who we are to follow, to learn? And we see that Christ prayed and prayed and prayed. He spent nights. How many of us have prayed all night in prayer that something was burdening us so heavy that we would pray and we would weep for somebody else besides ourselves? He came to make us partakers of the divine nature. That's because Jesus came as a Savior. He came with a mission to win souls for the kingdom. Do you all agree there's only one way Satan can hurt God at this point in time in Earth's history? And that is to steal children away from God for eternity. If he can take people away and make them lost to be destroyed in that lake of fire, that's his purpose. He's a defeated foe, do you agree? He knows he's a defeated foe. That's the only way he can hurt God. And we who love God want to save those children, be vehicles for God to use to save those children so the devil can't have them, right? We want to be a church family in heaven. We have to be a church family here. So why do we lack this power? We cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in his people to will and do of his good pleasure. But many will not submit to be led. And that is the problem with us. They want to manage themselves. This is why they do not receive the heavenly gift. Why do we not have this power? Because most of us, in general, will not submit to be led. We're okay to a point. But we are to be living sacrifices. And if we look at those two words and study them prayerfully, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? We're going to see a lot of things of this world and things that we're involved in that we need to say goodbye to. Do you agree? We have to get rid of the world in us. We need to be filled with the Spirit. This promised blessing claimed by faith brings all other blessings in its train. That means all other blessings. That means we're connected with God. We are listening to God and we know where to go and what to do. So a couple of questions getting close to the end. Do you want to receive this power? When do you want to receive the power? What's holding us back? Are we full-time or part-time Christians? Is Jesus really the Lord of all our lives? We accept him as the Savior, but he has to be the Lord of our lives. You agree? And are we willing to be willing if we're struggling with stuff? And through the agency of the Holy Spirit, the soul is enlightened and the character is renewed, sanctified, and uplifted. So what's the only way, again, we can receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Through prayer. Sincere, earnest seeking. So how important is prayer? It's really that simple, brothers and sisters. Our eternal destiny is going to be based on my personal relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have to let this mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ, tells us in Philippians 2, right? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Some people think this came in with Isaiah. Jesus mentioned it several times. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. So in closing, I would just like to encourage all of us to understand more and seek more and understand with the Holy Spirit who he is. He is the power that's going to change this church. A couple of people on fire sincerely with the Lord, you can fill these pews up if we follow the Lord. But we have to do it in his power. We've been doing our power for too many years. I think it's time that we need to change that. It's just my personal opinion, and I'll probably get a phone call from this, but that's okay. I know with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is the power each and every one of us need to be overcomers. Amen? We'll have our closing song. And it's really a prayer. It's a 569, I believe. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. It is a prayer. So it is my hope that we all will understand what God is calling us to, what our mission is as disciples of Jesus Christ. I know that you have a pastor that believes in the power of prayer, and you're blessed to have that. Many churches do not have that. So I hope that you're lifting him up in prayer every day for wisdom and discernment, and for your church leaders, your elders. It's time for our churches to get on the move. Do you agree? Amen. All of us. We all have a part to do in that. And Lord will show you how to use your gifts. He'll do that. And so I have a closing prayer. I'm just going to have an altar call for your heart not to come forward. I'm going to have a silent moment at the end, and then I'll close again with prayer. But for each of you to speak to the Lord, whatever is on your heart and mind, in regards to the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for your warnings and your messages, and those are warnings and messages of love, Father. They're not of fear. They're not of trying to make us miserable, but to show us and lead us to the joy of the Lord that should be in all of our hearts. I want that, Father, and I ask that your Spirit, I give permission to do whatever it takes to make that happen in my life and for people here. So, Father, I want to lift up this church and each soul that is here today. And as they talk to you for a moment, Father, I just ask that you honor their hearts at this moment. Again, Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your gift of love. May we go here and have traveling mercies. May we be faithful witnesses throughout the week. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for putting up with me.